We pray. Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. If you have taken or are taking the 10th grade religion course at Emmanuel, then you more or less should be familiar with some of the kings of Israel and Judah, like wicked King Ahab in Israel, or faithful King Hezekiah in Judah. So when our chapel speaker is retired Professor David Lau, you have some background to recognize what he's saying about King Jehoshaphat, maybe King Joash, who was hidden in the temple as a child, but probably not the king in yesterday's message, Amaziah. He's not one of the kings covered in Religion 10. Admittedly, with the passing of time, our knowledge of who these kings were and what they did, if not restudied, tends to fade. It becomes a vague recollection, a bunch of ancient Bible history that seems hard to relate to in our modern lives, modern day lives as New Testament followers of Christ. I suppose that the four books of 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, are not at the top of your list of favorites. Well, I urge you today and beyond to fight against the trend. Let's take to heart what the New Testament says about these Old Testament examples, reading from Romans 15, which is talking about the Old Testament from a New Testament perspective in verse 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. What's the best thing we could learn from those Old Testament kings, particularly the kings of Judah? It's not the details of who they were, or what they did as a bad example, or what they did as a good example. It's going to be the patterns. Patterns that repeat in their lives and ours. Noticing such patterns, we can learn something about Christian leadership as well as Christian responsibility. Though God has changed the structure so that we are not like the Old Testament Jews under a Davidic king, the expectations are still going to apply. Right now, you students are preparing for some kind of Christian leadership as God determines it. Maybe it will be as a parent in your own Christian family, or as a teacher in a day school or Sunday school, perhaps as a pastor or other kind of leader in a congregation. Regardless of the type of leadership that you will have one day, or already have now, God expects each of us to be absolutely loyal to Him every day, regardless of the circumstances, and to submit to His will in all things, and to obey His word in every respect. God expects us, whether leader or follower, to be a good example to the people under us or the people around us, and to help them know what God wants for them. Now, together with the expectations comes a holy standard of measurement. There will be judgment. As was true for all of those kings, God will measure each of us as either doing right in His eyes or doing wrong. Of course, there will be the inevitable result, that we come up short, we commit sin. And so we have to identify another pattern at work. The problem of human sin, our own. And the problem of human weakness, our own. Even with the standout kings of Judah, like Hezekiah or Josiah, these men had to battle their human nature. They struggled with pride, stubbornness, misplaced loyalties. God's prophet had to come to them and point out the error of their ways. They needed to repent and be forgiven by God. They needed the Savior, and so do we. Let's be sure to identify, most of all, the pattern of God's grace at work. When the king failed, God's covenant with David was not canceled. The sins of those men did not derail it. The promise of the Savior was still on track, still on schedule. Whenever the king of Judah failed, it became clear that he was not the one. No king of Judah could do or would do what Jesus did. He alone would be the conquering king who came to defeat our greatest enemies, sin, death, and hell. He alone would bring to us his everlasting victory and lead us into his kingdom, in which we are more than citizens. As both testaments point out in several passages, we are given the status of co-rulers with our King, Jesus Christ. Certainly, this pattern of grace, contained and revealed in prophecies fulfilled and the promise kept, is going to be a big part of what our text calls the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, both testaments, in which we have great hope in the King of Kings, David's greater son, his Lord and ours, Christ Jesus, our Emmanuel. We close our worship this morning singing our praises to the King of Kings, hymn 59, the first and last stanzas. Stanzas 1 and 6, hymn 59.